Good morning. Good morning. Thanks for hanging around through my college class in propaganda that I explained in the last hour. If you haven't seen Tulsi Gabbard's entire press conference, I encourage you to check it out and look at all the written material that they've unearthed from the intelligence community and President Obama, because it's worse than Watergate. Now, speaking of Woodward and Bernstein, we have our own Tim Dunn from the Boston Herald joining us here in studio. Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Good morning, Professor. I was listening on the way in. And actually, you know, I still know people in my life personally who are Democrats who still believe that right. He's a Russian spy.
It's crazy.
It really is. The CIA certainly was effective, or the intelligence community certainly was effective under Obama.
No, it really, really was. In domestic propaganda, something they're not supposed to participate in.
No.
They did it.
Wait a minute. That's a nice shirt you got on right there.
You like that?
Yeah, I like it.
It was a gift from Lenny Mills. Paul Overstreet's collection. You can get it at pauloverstreet.com. Baby blue, beautiful T-shirt, right?
Ready to go with that. You definitely did work in sales before. You must have.
Yes.
You know, but no, that's a great shirt. I like the color of it. You know, if you can get me one, please get a hold of it, man.
Yes, I will, Tim Dunn. So you've been up there reporting on the governor, reporting on a lot of things. Let's first of all, Tim Dunn, of course, how do people check you out on social media?
Oh, sure. Yeah. On X, it's at Consider Me Dunn. On Facebook, Timmy Dunn. And on Truth Social, it's Tim Dunn _ Boss Herald. And you can always check out all my stories at BostonHerald.com.
So this is a clip. You can see it in its, we're going to play it in its entirety. This is Tim Dunn at the State House. Last week or the week before?
It was at Gillette Stadium.
Oh,
for
Gillette
a press
Stadium.
Conference. Yeah. And mind you, based on the subject matter, this will be important later. Bob Kraft was standing next to Governor Healey, a notable, prominent Jewish man,
yes.
Successful Jewish man in this state. So, that was at Gillette Stadium after they announced the completion of that the MBTA line there.
They're doing everything they can for the foreign visitors to take in the soccer games.
Yeah. Yeah, including, I think that's $85 train tickets to go, 40 miles, so, yeah. They're doing everything they can. They certainly are.
Well, I've traveled to foreign countries where they rip off the tourists, so, maybe it's about time
that
we get on that. All right, so, guys, we're going to play the little clip here from Tim Dunn from Gillette Stadium interviewing Governor Healey. He's trying to question her about her support for the guy with the Nazi tattoo, which he's had removed or covered over now, who's running for U.S. Senate as a Democrat in the state of Maine. And there's all kinds of other really disgusting behavior alleged by women about Graham Plattner. Here we're going to go to the clip. Our own Tim Dunn, Boston Herald.
You endorsed Graham Plattner for his candidacy in Maine. You explain your support of him is pretty controversial. As a Nazi tattoo, he took 18 years to cover up. He's got messaging people on that Kick app that has, it's called a pedophile's paradise. How can you support somebody like that?
The person I endorsed in the race was my colleague, Governor Janet Mills. We also served together as Attorney General. She is on the ballot. What I've said, too, is come November, we need to do everything we can to defeat Susan Collins, who, is the reason that we have the Dobbs decision, the reason that Roe v. Wade was overturned. She is part of the enabling of Trump, whether it's spending $1 billion a day on this war of choice, cutting $1 trillion out of health care. It's going to hurt people here in Massachusetts, cutting benefits for veterans, cutting benefits for food. I mean, these are all things that Susan Collins has gone along with Trump on. And, this is an administration, a federal administration, that needs real leadership and needs senators who are willing to stand up and do what's right. Susan Collins has had that opportunity. She's failed. And come November, we need a change.
So,
Okay. So, Tim, that is, what's it like interviewing or questioning the governor?
It depends on what you're going to be asking her. I guess if you're at the point I am with her, where I'm kind of just always asking a tougher question for her, you tend to get cut off a lot. I I can't stand being in a media scrum with TV reporters. They're not always there, but they always need to get the question and themselves on camera and looking serious, and they ask fluffer little softball questions. So right. You get cut off by that a lot. And then, of course, the press secretary, you know, they're not stupid. They're going to, you know, as soon as you ask your question, they're going to cut you off for no follow-ups, because that I'm sure most people would agree. Her little spiel there deserves a few follow-up questions.
Yes, it did.
So, it can be frustrating at times, but if you know what you're doing and you kind of, you know, get everything ready to go and you know what you're going to say, you can do your job.
Tim Dunn, of course, you can read him daily at bostonherald.com. You can pick up the paper copy like I do. Tim, what is the story with her and her support for Graham Plattner, the guy who you rightly point out had a Nazi tattoo that took him 18 years to cover up? And he's running for the U.S. Senate as a Democrat. What is really the relationship, from your understanding, of her and Plattner?
Yeah, so I don't believe they've ever met, anything like that. But so that day, that was the second time she was actually asked that day. It was last Tuesday. And she was doing her monthly appearance, I think it's a monthly appearance, on GBH Radio, okay. Boston's Public Radio, with Jim Broud and...
Howie Carr calls it Panhandler Radio.
That's probably a better description, honestly. Yes. But they actually asked her and got more of a clear answer on her support for Graham Plattner, because he's been the number one topic. You know, they're just they mentioned my coverage that they're at the his campaign was at the Democratic the state Democrat convention, and so she was asked directly, you know, do you support Graham Plattner if he wins in the primary and has a matchup against Susan Collins in November? And the governor said verbatim, yes, and let me tell you why.
Right.
To me, that sounds like an endorsement.
Yes.
I was on with Barry on Friday. He agrees. It seems like you may agree also.
I do.
Yeah, I kind of put it this way. If Brian Gomes called your show and said, I support Ian Abreu for re-election,
right.
what would you say? That's an endorsement.
Yes.
You know, so I had asked her about that, and then I wrote my article.
And by the way, Brian Gomes does not. But anyway.
Yeah. We'll make that clear too. Sorry, yeah. Brian and Ian. Yeah. But I wrote my article, and then my boss had told me that a day later that they going above me. Usually, people will at least reach out to me first if they have a problem with it. But they went right to my boss and tried getting him to change the article, saying, "Well, no,
is her staff.
Yeah, her okay. staff." No, she doesn't. I guess what they were saying was she doesn't endorse it. She never endorsed him. She endorsed Janet Mills. And it's like, yeah, she did. But Janet Mills also ended her campaign on April 30th.
Right.
And the election's now tomorrow. So, right. You know, it's a little too late. You clearly endorsed him. And good, you know, luckily for me at the Herald, you know, that my boss has kind of told him to go pound sand.
Yes.
We're not going to do it. You know, and so, but it looks like a day later.
Yes.
And this is crazy to me, because I know nobody here has... You know, everybody here has good instinct, right?
Yes.
You'd be celebrating if someone did this on your radio program. Like
yes.
Healy. They had an article calling our reporting at the Herald false. Their headline was, "No, Maura Healey is not endorsing Graham Plattner." And, and they went into this whole explanation how, she will if he wins the primary. But so far, no. And it's like, okay, what's the difference?
Right.
So it's just crazy. You know, it's an incredible instinct in my, to think about where, you know, my first thought would be like, I'm going to blast this to the universe. Maura Healey just told me she's
right.
endorsing this guy.
Yes.
You know, no matter what you think politically. And obviously,
GBH got the story, and their reporters are contradicting it.
Yeah, they're contradicting it, contradicting our stuff. And it's obvious, you know, I clicked together for me when I saw this article by them, that clearly the Healey campaign reached out, or team reached out to them, and they were more than happy to do a favor. So
we have Tim Dunn from the Boston Herald. Check him out at bostonherald.com. You talked about it. I talked about it here. How I knew is you reported on it. The Democrats' state convention, which, by the way, Maura Healey, as the elected governor, is the leader, rightfully, of the Democrat Party in Massachusetts. I don't think anybody disputes that. It was her convention. She got the endorsement. Graham Plattner's team was welcome there. Talk about that.
Yeah, so as we all and here's where I'll give a little bit of a weird kind of credit to Elizabeth Warren.
Okay.
She's been the most vocal supporter. She has not backed down. She has not said, oh, it's just about defeating Susan Collins. She has said, that is my man.
Yes, right? Literally,
so,
that's my
so
man.
So at least give her credit for having the guts to go out and stand by what she's believing.
The guy
in,
with a Nazi tattoo.
Yeah. But by a guy with a Nazi tattoo, right? All these other people, like Ed Markey, who allowed Plattner's campaign table space with him at the convention, or you know Seth Moulton, who you know walked by these campaigns and actually shook hands with some of these people at the campaign, you know, or the Democrat Party themselves, who allowed them inside. They're all
yes.
hiding behind this and saying, you know, and they're refusing to answer. Do I support Graham Plattner outright? And just like Healey are now hiding behind, well, with Susan Collins, why are we pretending she's some sort of like Donald Trump Jr. right-wing MAGA extremist?
Right.
She's furthest from that.
Yes. Yeah. Susan Collins is a middle-of-the-road New England Republican.
I remember she was getting bashed on Fox News, like, what, you know, not a year ago right. for voting against Trump.
Yes.
So it's crazy that you know, the backflips they're doing to try to paint her as a MAGA guy.
Tim Dunn was a writer at Fox News, so any references, like coming from an insider
right.
to Fox News.
You know, especially when you're working at a network like Fox News, when all the shows essentially have the same, you know, topic of the day on, you know,
right.
you just get beaten to your head. So I remember we were bashing Susan Collins.
Yes.
You know, so it's silly just the, you know, I don't know. It's crazy how, you know, but the partisan politics can contort itself to this degree where people are just looking past a Nazi tattoo or, you know, potential predatory behavior
right.
or all this other despicable stuff.
Look, the guy. And keep the kids away from the radio here for a second. Turn it down. It'll be very quick. The gentleman, and I use that term loosely, Graham Platner, the likely Democrat nominee in Maine for U.S. Senate, has talked about his fetish for masturbating in public bathrooms, most specifically what do they call them?
Porta-potties?
Porta-potties.
Yeah.
He's got an obsession with masturbating in porta-potties, and they want to elect that guy to the U.S. Senate.
Usually you call the police and get yes. help for that person who's
right.
in there, not elect them to a you know, offices like the Senate.
Right.
You know, it's baffling to me, but, you know, it's funny watching all these backflips and these turns and these hiding. You know, CNN, and CNN, Moulton and Markey are on Thursday, and they're both at, and credit to CNN, honestly, they really pushed them. They asked for their, you know, if they supported them, and, well, you know, who knows if any more controversial actions will come out, Seth Moulton says, but, you know, we have to defeat Susan Collins. Markey was really pressed. They, you know, he said, I support his ideas, and he has good ideas, and I think the host is Boris Sanchez said, no, do you support Graham Platner?
Right.
And he still refused to outright say yes. But he's good enough to share table space and allow to, you know, solicit volunteers and donations at our convention.
And you have to, listen, a convention, whether it's Republicans or Democrats, you have to show ID. You have to register ahead of time. You got to pay them a fee to set up a table. That's the way the operation works. You know, Tim, you've been to both conventions. You got to get press credentials. It's a controlled environment.
Right.
Graham Platner's supporters didn't get in there without permission of Mara Healey, Ed Markey, and the rest of the Democrat operation.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because I actually had reached out to the Democrat Party, and they told me that they had no idea. They didn't authorize him coming in, which I go back and forth. Do I believe that, or do I, you know? But I also could think, you know, someone with the power of Elizabeth Warren could just say, "We're having him.
Right.
Get over it."
Yes.
You know?
Exactly. Tim Dunn is here. He's taking your questions at 508-996-0500. He's from the Boston Herald. Guys, you got to dig that well before you get thirsty. That's why I recommend getting a relationship started with Columbus Energies. Columbus Energies, a family-owned business since 1960, located right here in Bristol County, Lower Bristol County, family-owned business. Now, why do I say you want to get a relationship with them? Because they will give you honest answers on a lot of your energy needs. Go to columbusenergies.com. And is your AC making strange noises or struggling to keep up? Well, give Columbus Energies a call before you get too deep into the heat, right? A quick summer tune-up now can keep your AC running cooler, quieter, and longer. If you're thinking about upgrading your AC system, Columbus Energies installs systems sized correctly for your home by expert technicians who leave your home as clean as when they came in. They are a family-owned business that understands service, all right, to their customers. That's why they have so many repeat customers. What about your grill? What about your grill tank? Stop by Columbus Energies to fill up your propane tank or to talk with them about becoming an automatic propane delivery customer. You know, summer outages do happen, and a standby generator keeps your refrigerator cold and your AC humming and your internet going when the power goes out. Family owned since 1960. Same standards, same commitments to doing the job right. That's the Columbus way. We'll be right back. Stick around.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM. Am I
just a fool? Don't be a fool yourself. Knowledge is power. For Bristol County seniors, please join us at the Bristol County Celebration of Seniors at Whites of Westport on June 12th from 9 a.m. till noon. I'll be broadcasting live. Please stop by and say hello. Seniors are invited to enjoy a free breakfast. Free breakfast that's really outstanding. I enjoy multiple plates every year. And a resource fair with speakers, giveaways, and important information. This special free event is presented by Bristol County District Attorney Tom Quinn and Coastline Elderly Services. A special thank you to our platinum sponsors, Anodyne and Eternal Health, and gold sponsors, AARP of Massachusetts, Bristol Elder Services, Mechanics Cooperative Bank, Senior Medicare Patrol, and United Healthcare Community Plan. For questions or to RSVP, please call Brian Rose at the District Attorney's Office. His phone number is 508-961-1972. Again, call Brian Rose at the District Attorney's Office to RSVP, 508-961-1972. We have the great Tim Dunn from the Boston Herald here. We're going to go right to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hey, fellas. How are you today?
We're doing great. Doing great. How are you?
Not bad. I want to talk about another race, the L.A. Mayor's race. Something interesting happened this weekend. There was a 22,000 paper ballot dump on the mayor's race, and it changed it. So Spencer Pratt was in second place. Now he's in third place. Did you know that of the 22,000 ballot that were I love the word dump, that were dumped, not one vote in 22,000 was for Spencer Pratt?
Shocking.
Not one.
That's
being
I'm not
reported
sure.
on national news.
I'm not sure how they do things out there in L.A. I really don't. So I really can't comment on the vote counting out in L.A. the way I can say here in the greater New Bedford area when it happens or doesn't happen because there's no ballots. So I don't know. Tim, do you know anything about how they do it out there?
Not to speak intelligently on it, but from what I hear, you know, I'm not too surprised, you know. So,
Colin, what do you think?
The funny part was, what are the odds though of in 22,000 of anything that nothing is the other option isn't ever, you know, counted.
Hey, caller, with all
like,
due
not
respect,
not even one vote.
With all due respect, I'll swing it to one man, Kim Jong Un. Okay, 99% victory. Just go look it up. All right, the proof is in the pudding.
Yes.
Yeah, but in that case, in L.A., he would do worse than the L.A. mayor race because 99 isn't 100%. 22,000
so.
Is zero is 100%.
That's true.
Wow.
No, thanks for the call. We do appreciate it. Yeah, I see a lot of this stuff about what's happening in California. And I heard someone say this morning, or maybe it was yesterday afternoon, I'm kind of done with California. In other words, if this is how they're going to operate out there, then who cares?
Right.
Just write them off.
Right, and honestly, if you look at it, the effect that California state politics has on us directly, just don't go if you don't want to go.
Right.
You know?
508-996-0500. There's a lot to talk about with Boston Herald reporter Tim Dunn. Tim, you're following the governor's race. I'm following it. The primary, we should say, at this point. There is still a primary. There was a blowout at the convention, but Brian Shortsleeve made enough at the convention, so did his running mate, Sean Oliver of New Bedford, to get on the ballot, and they got the signatures. In fact, to my knowledge, Sean Oliver is the only one who's publicly declared and shown the proof that he's on the ballot as a Republican for the lieutenant governor in September.
Right. We're probably finding out, if not today, tomorrow, sometime this week, early, I would imagine, that if Ann Manning Martin and Ann Brensley did or didn't make it, we can probably assume Ann Brensley didn't.
Correct.
Ann Manning Martin had a number of them, and I forget the number that I discussed with Barry on Friday, but I think he talked to Holly Robichaud, who had got the numbers on behalf of the Shortsleeve and Oliver campaign. But I think she was at least like maybe 1,000 or so that were like flagged or something like that. And I think what the surprising thing though is that Manning Martin and I think Michael Walsh too, they came over like less than 1,000 signatures over the minimum, which okay. Even if you're not dealing with fraud, that's still kind of risking it because
absolutely
no one turns in 100% perfect ballot signatures, right. You know? So it's we'll see, but I mean, maybe what an incredible first step on a statewide political stage for Sean Oliver, if he could yes. be the only one to make the ballot.
Which means he's with whoever gets the governor's nominee.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's a contested election. Mike Minogue and Brian Schwarzenegger are both running at it, and looks like they're going to go through till the primary. I don't believe Schwarzenegger is going to drop out, nor do I think he should.
Yeah, no, I certainly not right now. I mean, it's still really early. You know, yes. I guess if, you know, I know I didn't cover it, you know, with full disclosure, you know, with the Boston Globe Suffolk poll, we don't really publish Boston Globe stuff, but right. You can see why it is a business. But I did take a look at the poll and it didn't look too great for short sleeve.
It did not.
No. And so if I would say if maybe you have another one of those in July, maybe in certainly beginning of August, that yes. might be time.
Yes.
But it's still too early, I'd say.
I would say that not only because it's good for this program and good for the media business, but I do think it's good for the voters. To get a, and by the way, the candidates, okay? Neither Brian Shortsleeve nor Mike Minogue, with all their private sector experience and military experience, have still never run statewide.
Right.
So they both need the practice rounds. And so I think it's good for both of them, whether they like it or not.
Right, yeah, they need to get out there and see what it's like, and it's a good thing that they kind of go after, I guess, to go after each other a little bit.
Yeah.
You see more of the ignoring thing on Minogue's part, but I guess either way you look at it, you know, Healey's going to do both of those things to them
yes.
once it comes to November. So that's where I think they get a lot of practice, and I still think the debate. You know, lingers also. Right. I think Minogue probably it'd suit his campaign better to go and do it, and then that way he can say, "I've debated short sleeve. Yes. I won at the convention. Now we can move on." But he's giving, in my opinion, giving the short sleeve campaign easy ammunition here.
No, I agree with you, and I don't get what the hang up is. In other words, just debate the man. Now I get it. People go, "Well, that's like you're talking to an opponent. You try to ignore your opponent." I don't get. On Friday, I had Tom Hodgson, who's a big supporter of Mike Minogue, has been for more than a year now. And I said to him, I think maybe is Minogue's strategy going to end up being, I'm not going to debate anybody. The debates don't matter. And so Healey and I, although he's asking Healey to debate, how could she possibly debate him on her horrible record?
Oh, she couldn't.
Right.
And that's a thing where you can go after it. And I think both Shortsleeve and Minogue are both capable of going after her on that. It's certainly, I think, an easy target, you know. But, yeah, if you don't, I think Minogue needs to really have that background, that proof that, hey, I can debate my own, you know. And also, I think the Democrats call him out on that. When he called out Healey for a debate, they said, well, you're still ignoring debates from your own primary challenger. You know, and I think the voters deserve to see that difference. And also, I think his excuse, or not excuse, but his explanation of, well, we've already shared the stage. Sharing the stage and getting softball, again, so Republicans can get softball questions too.
Sure.
Is a lot different than sharing a stage getting tough
questions.
You've
heard my program.
No, not on this program, but on other ones. But so that's kind of, I think, the gist of it there.
Yeah, I think it's good for Shortsleeve, good for Minogue, because one of them is going to be the nominee.
Yeah.
And as you point out, the poll by Suffolk, and I covered it here, was not good for short sleeve, but I would also say it wasn't horrible in the sense that there's still 40% undecided
yeah.
within that family, the primary voters. So 40, even though Minogue has more than 40%, there's still 40% undecided. With short sleeves, got 13%. You if you put them all together, that's 53%. That's the nominee.
Right. Right. Yeah. Seriously, you can't sniff at 40% right now.
Right.
I think that's what it shows, that it's still very early. I think,
yeah.
And maybe what could that number grow if Minogue still continues to not debate and Shortsleeve can successfully
right.
really get that to the public, get that message out. Yeah, I think it really calls for Suffolk to have another poll come out, you know, next month.
It was significant that Brian Shortsleeve put another $600,000
yeah.
into his campaign. That's a man who's, look, he's a Marine Corps officer, right? And I get it that Minogue is an Army Ranger. They're both elite, really elite in the military. However, a Marine isn't just going to give up because of what? A couple bad poll results? I mean, he's determined. When you saw him put the money in, $600,000, that's a significant amount of money to then quit. He's not quitting.
Oh, no, no, certainly not. And what I've been told is that there's going to be another, you know, another installation for sure coming, yep, and possibly two more installations coming. So, yep, yeah, he's certainly digging in. And, you know, it's a lot of money. And Short Sleeve is a successful person, too. Yes. Mike Keneally as well, who actually just endorsed Minogue. But, yeah, you know, obviously, you know, Minogue is the billionaire of the group. You're not, yeah, going to. And I don't think the intent by Short Sleeve is to try to, you know, get into a funding of self. That'd be stupid. That'd, right, be, you know, financial suicide. So I think what he's showing is, yeah, he's serious. He's digging in, and he's looking to invest and have, you know, in everything for the next couple of months.
508-996-05. Whatever you want to ask Tim Dunn, he's here from the Boston Herald. Check him out at bostonherald.com. Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, gentlemen.
What's happening?
Well, you guys read my mind, because that's what I wanted to talk about, the big, beautiful debate between Short Sleeve and Mike Minogue. You got to see if they can stand the gap, you know, if they can get up there and present themselves, especially since the Republicans are going to need unenrolled people like myself,
yep,
to decide to vote for them. Who would be the best candidate to go against Maura Healey, who I believe can debate? So I would hope that would happen. And I would tell you, I would hope it would happen in the big, beautiful, million-dollar, multi-million-dollar auditorium we have known as the Zeiterion here in New Bedford. Just like they're having one out in Springfield for Moulton and Markey, why not have it right here?
Yeah.
What say you guys?
That'd be incredible. What a draw for New Bedford that would,
yes,
be. You know?
That would be great.
Yeah, that'd be great. And, you know, and I think what we'll see, what I'm predicting at least, you know, this is a kind of an opinion, I guess a prediction for me is, you know, will Minogue obviously has been winning right now. He went really, really hard during the pre-convention. He really worked hard at getting delegate support. You know, is his record of being a successful business owner in the private sector going to be holding enough water and, you know, to say I have enough mustard to debate Healey if he's not, right, going to debate Short Sleeve? I think that's where he also gets the chance to say I can do it. I have that edge,
yes,
where I can take questions that are hard, get cut off, and still answer it correctly.
Well, anybody but Healey, as far as I'm concerned. But I'm going for Short Sleeve because he showed interest in this area by supporting Sean Oliver as his lieutenant governor candidate. But again, you got to show that you're qualified to do this with Minogue. Yeah, he's been great in business, but you can't run for the heavyweight championship of the world unless you fight a few fights on the way up.
Exactly.
And I think that's what he's going to do with Short Sleeve.
Exactly. No, great point, Paul. That's a great point.
Yeah, I get it that Mike Minogue doesn't want to give oxygen to his Republican primary opponent. However, he doesn't need oxygen from Minogue to keep going.
No, and
he's going to keep going.
And Mike, and the thing is, Minogue's not the incumbent. You, right, see Senator Markey do it. That's an incumbent's traditional practice to do,
right,
that. He's not the incumbent yet.
Right. No. I think it. Look, it's hard to make an Army Ranger, decorated war hero, billionaire, look weak, but they're kind of doing it.
They're on their own. They are. And, you know, and it's, I think it's more of a Minogue campaign shooting themselves in the foot.
Right.
Because any campaign, not just a short, you know, Holly's not stupid. Anybody could think of this stuff, you know?
Right.
So you're going to give it to someone like Holly who could, you know, will be ready to go with this no problem in the Short Sleeve campaign. You know, it's just kind of shooting yourself in the foot right there. It really, that's all it is.
It's not helpful. And by the way, I ultimately believe that Minogue is right now the likely winner of the primary because he's got the most resources and the one that can mount the strongest campaign because of resources right now on hand over Healey. But he's also, if he wants to debate Healey, he's giving her and the Democrats a lot of ammunition to be able to say, we're not going to debate you.
Right. And you know what? It very well could happen. Is Healey is, you can tell, you know, the campaign is nervous. They know that they could lose this election, and it's, yes, not smoke and mirrors. It's, you know, if she was running against Jeff Deal, it'd be a sweep. It'd be,
right,
a landslide victory. But
she did it.
Yeah, she did it. Right. But, you know, this is a, you know, she's had really, I'm impressed to name really any successful accomplishments as governor,
right,
that she's had that, you know, were purely birthed by her. You know, I think what speaks to it is at the convention, right? She spoke on Friday night before, you know, knowing that most press wouldn't be there on Saturday. She was introduced by Steve Kerrigan, the Democratic Party chair,
mm-hmm,
to speak for a few minutes, to say a few words. You know what she did? Instead, they came out to, I'm shipping up to Boston. Okay. They waved around, okay, and they left and they walked away.
Really?
Yeah. Didn't say a word. They try to avoid these things. They, you know, and while Healy's not mentioning Minogue or Short Sleeve by name, she's also, I get all of her campaign emails. Every email is about how rich these millionaire GOP MAGA guys are, and we need to get more funding. And so, I mean, obviously that's a tactic, but she's clearly scared of it.
508-996-0500. That's how you can get on the air. Guys, we got to take a quick break. We'll be back. Tim Dunn's going to be here through the hour. If you're on hold, you got a great spot. So stick around. We'll be back after 2 minutes. Stick around.
This portion of programming on WBSM brought to you by South Coast Health, Advanced Medicine, more
special.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Welcome back to the program. Little one-hit wonder for you, Donnie Iris, Alea.
Chris, I come in here for the music. That's all I come in here for. I pretend to like you.
That's the reason I come to work here, is just to play the song.
There you go.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, gentlemen. What's what a beautiful day we have today.
It's unbelievable out there.
I know it, huh? Here's my two cents for what it's worth. To me, I'm independent. I think both men are more or less saying the same thing. I just question whether or not they can deliver because of the fact that the legislation is so, you know, over on the Democratic side. They'll probably get vetoed on anything they tried. But between the two gentlemen, you know, I've been hearing about Brian Shortsleeve on Facebook since the fall. Minogue never really showed up in my world, shall we say, on Facebook until like January. So to me, and I'm not sold yet, but to me, I seem to think that Shortsleeve wants it more. Because why never I heard about Minogue back in the fall like I did with Shortsleeve? That's the only thing, a comment I have. Because when the guy showed up on my feeds, I'm going, who is this guy? Why are we talking about elections already? But he was on top of it almost a year ago.
Well, that's interesting because, you know, usually what we talk about when it comes to Minogue versus Short Sleeve when it comes to advertising, getting the word out, is how much we hear Minogue on the air here.
Right.
And he does have a big presence on X. And I just haven't noticed the amount of traffic either of them have had on Facebook. But, I mean, maybe there's something to that. I will also say, too, that Short Sleeve did announce his candidacy a few months ahead of time before Minogue did.
He did. I actually had both he and Keneally, who's now dropped out, on the air before Mike Minogue had even officially announced.
Yeah.
He announced late in the cycle. He was around, certainly. Last summer, he was out.
It's like October 1st, I think, right? Yeah, but he was mulling around.
You're right. Yeah, not to interrupt. Yeah, Short Sleeve, I believe it was around October when I started seeing, you know, stuff about him. And I'm going like, huh. You know, I just figured this was a new world, you know, people now flooding Facebook with every idea or election, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But like I said, Minogue never really appeared on my radar, honestly, till this past January.
So if you don't mind, I want to ask you a question. Do you watch, like, the Patriots? I mean, it's fine if you don't, but do you watch football at all? Because he was all over football starting last year, Minogue, advertising during the Patriots.
No, that's not my thing.
Yeah,
and
I get that.
I got other work things going on in my world.
I appreciate that.
You know who could explain this Facebook thing, actually, though? Because I actually remember from my days working here, actually, because we post our stories on Facebook and Twitter. And Tim Weisberg actually is a really good knowledge about the algorithms of things.
He's very good, yeah.
He is. And he can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe what
and
it
he
is.
Will.
He will. What it is, I think, is that Facebook's algorithm is particularly strange. So, like, if you click on something and view something, it'll say, oh, well, you know, Chris likes this topic. I'm going to keep, say dinosaurs.
Yes.
You'll get a million dinosaur videos. You know, so if you click on a short sleeve thing once, you might get more short sleeve things over and over and over again, where X or other sites are more of just a timeline. It depends when you hop on, you'll see what's being posted at that time.
Well, if I can be a little bit more specific, where I was seeing it on Facebook, you know, where they show like four or five little mini videos?
Reels.
And, you know, so I kind of look at those, and then when you get to the last one, you can hit the arrow to see a series of what's next. And that's where he was popping up you know, for me.
Okay.
Yeah,
you know,
that's what
on
happens
that end. But yes, you're correct. After that, he says, showing up on my main feed at that point.
I love World War II history. My girlfriend thinks I'm a psycho because that's all that pops up in my feed is like, you know, death and, you know, she's like, honey, it's 11:30 at night. I don't want to hear about Hitler. But,
right.
You know, so like that's a consequence of the Facebook algorithm. So
when I was a kid, my father, who had been in Germany after World War II, a couple years after World War II, certainly, got all the Time Life books. There was no internet back when I was a kid. So I learned all about the Holocaust and the horrors of Nazi Germany and the fact that my uncle Billy had killed a couple of Germans over there. So it was pretty good. He killed Nazis.
That's good. That's good with me.
He would not vote for Graham Platner, even if he was a Democrat.
No, I don't think my grandfather either, who did the same stuff. So,
yet,
you know.
Mara Healey and all the Democrats. The most, and you reported on this, how much money is Graham Platner getting out of Massachusetts?
A lot. Well, I can tell you, Massachusetts is the fourth most, accounts for the fourth most contributions to the Platner campaign in the country. It falls only behind Maine, which obviously, California and New York, both states substantially bigger than Massachusetts.
Yep.
And it's got $3.6 million to date, so obviously more probably will come in the next filing, by the Democratic PAC that's based in Somerville, Act Blue. And $3.6 million of individual earmarked donations. So some people get confused. They think that, you know, people will just donate to Act Blue and then Act Blue decides.
Right.
You can do that, I think, in some respects, but they mainly act as a vendor.
Yes.
So, you know, Chris McCarthy sends in a check for, you know, Charlie Baker to campaign, and, you know, they'll say, okay, this is earmarked by Chris McCarthy to this campaign.
Yes.
So there was a lot of high donors in Massachusetts, and, you know, all the money that went from Massachusetts through Act Blue totaled that $3.6 million. You know, there was Kenneth Nickerson and his wife, Catherine Dice, there in Harvard. They sent the most. They've each sent, so a total of $14,000, $7,000 apiece to his campaign. A couple MIT professors, Harvard professors, some capital investment managers, just all sprinkled across the state. But you can take your own look and look right in the FEC and see who's sending who what.
And there's probably links in your story to that?
Oh, yeah, of course, right in the Herald story. It's links are right there.
We're going to go to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for holding you on with Tim Dunn from the Boston Herald.
Good morning, Tim and Chris.
Hello.
Good morning.
So much to talk about. Graham Platner, what a piece of work that is. But, you know, he fits right in with the Democratic Party. Like you said, he likes to masturbate in a porta potty. What a moron. I mean, but he fits in with the Democrats because they're a bunch of morons, too. It's just amazing. Bernie Sanders should be ashamed of himself. He should hang his head in shame. What a disgrace. But anyways, getting back to the Brian Shortgleave and Mike Minogue, you know, I kind of get the feeling with Mike Minogue that he thinks he's the smartest guy in the room, and he's so smart that he doesn't have to communicate to the people, the voters, as to what he stands for and what he's going to do. So it's kind of, I really liked him at first, but he's actually kind of turned me off a bit versus Brian Shortgleave, you know, is very much more proactive and is communicating with people and telling people what he's going to do. But both of them, it's amazing to me how the Republicans run, because I personally am not on social media at all. So I haven't heard anything from either one of them. There's a radio station I listen to in the Boston market that's very conservative. Neither one of them have ran ads. And I think it's because maybe Amy Cannavale has told him not to, because she tried to get the guy off the air because he's so conservative. So, I mean, they need to do a little bit more. They need to get their message out, because truthfully, at this point, I really have no idea what Mike Minogue stands for, other than he's a rich guy. And if he's such a rich guy in the medical field, he should be talking about how he's going to bring down the cost of health care in this state. I recently had a little issue where I had to go to an emergency room. It was $1,000 when I got the Medicare bill. $1,000 just to get, you know, my blood pressure taken and an x-ray. I hurt my knee. I'm like, $1,000? Are you kidding me? So health care is so absurd. That's another thing, along with all the insanity at the schools where, you know, little boys who say that they're a girl can go into a girl's room and be peeking through the doors. And, you know, there's so much that they should be talking about and communicating. And I don't find, I really find the Minogue is really not doing the job.
So thank you for the call. What I would say is I've been with both of them personally. And I think they're both dynamite guys with great answers to these problems. And I think they ought to really spend more time trying to communicate. But they have spent, I know Minogue has spent a lot of money here on the station. Brian Shortsleeve has spent some money here. I'm going to take a break. We'll be right back. More with Tim Dunn from the Boston Herald. Stick around. Politicians. Tim Dunn is out there reporting on them all the time. Tim, so this, are they going to send you out to Western Mass to do the debate with Minogue? Help me out here. The Democrat?
Mark Ian Moulton?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe they will. I don't know. I mean, if it's televised, but we don't get it out here, so I might have to go there.
You could stay in the Amherst Campus Hotel, formerly run by LeVar Cook, where they received allegedly shipments of cocaine before he switched to the Western White House.
That would have been a popular spot in college, I'll tell you that. But
I used to stay there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because my girlfriend at the time had a job working there, so we got discount rates on rooms.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Man, too bad you couldn't do that now. You would get the whole package with Lamar, but no, if I can go out there, it'd be cool. But,
ball in a room.
Exactly, right? Exactly. That debate's pretty cool, though. Anyway, the debate that's really cool is going to be Moulton and Deaton in the first inter-party primary.
Yes.
Markey should get on that. I really think that their campaigns will advise to skip that.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
Tim Dunn, I appreciate it. How do people follow you on social media?
Yeah, on X, it's at Consider Me Dunn. On Facebook, Timmy Dunn. Truth Social, Tim Dunn _ Boss Herald. And, of course, go to thebostonherald.com all the time.
Folks, stick around. I'm going to do